All right. Let me give just one moment, do a little shift here, and I encourage you to take the Word of God this evening and turn to Matthew and chapter number 26. Matthew and chapter number 26. I think, it's all right. Whoa. Somebody locked the wheels on me. All right. Okay. Here we go. So we don't get a lot of motion. All right. Matthew and chapter number 26. And yes, we are going to have a cooking show tonight. So buckle up. It's going to be riveting. It's going to be very exciting, as all cooking shows are, really. I thought about getting my hair spiked and wearing some jewelry and tattoos so I'd look like Guy Fieri, but then my wife reminded me she wouldn't like it. So, all right, praise the Lord. Matthew 26. Also find 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. And we're going to take this Sunday night and next Sunday night, and we're going to make some preparations for the Lord's Supper. And that's what we're looking at, is making sure we're prepared. And so that's what this is about, is just a matter of preparation. Matter of preparation. When we consider the Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded that that wasn't just something that just they threw together. Right? It was something that was prepared for, and we ought to make preparation spiritually for the coming together for communion. And you should have got, if you're a member here of the church, you should have got a letter in the mail about that. And I just encourage you that you would spiritually just be taking time, taking account, and making sure that we come together as a church body to remember the body that was broken, the blood that was shed of our Lord and Savior, and that we do it worthily. So let's just read just some scripture, and then we'll just consider some thoughts here this morning about the body of Christ and the broken body. So look, begin with me, Matthew 26 in verse number 17, and we're going to read down through verse number 30. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house and with thy disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and he did eat. And he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and they began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it and brake it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, Ye shall all be offended of me this night. And so here we have the account of the institution of the Lord's table here in Matthew in chapter number 26. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. I understand that we are in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be preaching through this in the coming weeks. We're just right there. We just started in chapter 11, but we're 2 weeks away from the time of taking communion. I thought I wanted to stop and just give attention to the body and to the blood specifically. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, This take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and to drink of that cup. For he that drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Not discerning the Lord's body. And so we again see this this examination there, this time that brings it into where we need to make preparation. And so I want to take the next 2 weeks and allow us to gain some focus, if you would, on the purpose of why we would take communion, and some focus on the need of the preparation that must go into the Lord's table, preparation of the believer. The examination of the believer, a time for them to examine their hearts, and our hearts should be turned to be ready to receive the Lord's table and to be a partaker of the Lord's table. The very idea, when we get back to Matthew in chapter number 26, that they made ready the Passover in verse number 19. They made ready the Passover. As I was just reading this week, just caught my attention, the very idea of something being made ready, it literally means to have something prepared, that something has been made, that something has been prepared, that it's been provided for, that the things necessary for them to observe what they were observing, the Passover, had been made prepared for. They had been set aside. They had been made ready for this to take place. And it'd be the necessary provisions that would be accompanied with that which they were doing on this night, which at the onset of it, and even the question of the disciples in verse number 17, is, "Where shall we prepare for you to eat the Passover? How are we going to get everything ready and the Passover to take place?" So if we can direct our attention to this preparation, we must undergo and be ready to eat his supper as he instituted it, and for the purpose in which it was instituted. And it was instituted on a very specific night. It was instituted on this night of Passover. That's when it was instituted. In the ceremony of the Passover is where Christ chose to stop and to have this institution that we call now the Lord's Supper. He desired for it to be instituted on this night of Passover. And it is specifically in verse number 17, it was the first day of unleavened bread. That's the time in which this question was asked. That's the period in which this this ceremony was going to take place, this ongoing ceremony that we still celebrate today. And this would have been, if you will, a Jewish observance of the Passover, this time of unleavened bread. And it was a very special time for the nation of Israel. They were remembering the cost of the freedom that it took, the things that happened as they were pulled out of Israel. And they were remembering the bitter service in which they were made to serve with rigor in the land of Egypt, and the things that were surrounding that. That was what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was about, was to remember them leaving the land of Egypt, and God pulling them out and giving them freedom from the bondage that they were under in Egypt. And if we were to go back back to Exodus in chapter number 12 and just do a simple read of Exodus in chapter number 12, we would find out that in Exodus in chapter verse 12 and verse number 3, God said, listen, I'm going to institute this time of Passover in the first month of the year, all right? And it's going to be on the 10th day of the month that you're going to go out and you're going to find a lamb without blemish, and you're going to bring that lamb into your house on the 10th day of the month. And then they were going to keep that lamb and have that lamb with them until the 14th day of the month, according to verse number 6 through 8. And on the 14th day of the month, they were going to take the lamb that they took on the 10th day, and they were going to sacrifice it, and they were going to shed its blood. And then they were going to take and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door, and the death angel was going to pass over. And if there was no blood applied to the door, then the firstborn child of that home would die. And if the blood was applied, then it would pass over them. And this was the process of the Passover. This was the same process that the Jewish people followed in the Passover, even in this time. It was a process where on the 10th day they found a lamb, and on the 14th day that lamb would be sacrificed. It was a type and the picture of the coming of the Messiah, the shedding of the blood of the Messiah. And so they were following this process. This would have been a preparation that was done. Not just one morning they got up and said, hey, we need to make preparation for this. No, it was a time where there was a certain date. The 10th was coming, and they needed to start the preparation on the 10th. That ended on the 14th day of the month. And we understand that, and I almost skipped over it in verse number 20, but I made sure to go back and read it. Now, when the even was come, there was a specific even that was coming. That would be the 14th day of this month, when they would observe the eating of the Passover feast. And if we go back to Exodus in chapter number 12 and look there, they were to eat all of the lamb. I mean, every bit of that lamb was to be eaten. There was to be nothing left over till daybreak. The supper was not complete. Their meal was not done until that lamb was consumed. I mean, it was important that they took all of the lamb, and they had all the lamb that was offered unto them, and they were to do it in their individual homes with their families. And here on this night, though, the Lord was establishing something new. And so in the preparation for the Passover and what they were doing, the Lord just says, listen, I desire to take my Passover, in verse number 18, with my disciples. I'm going to observe this Passover with you. I'm going to spend this time with you. And the Lord had something new that he was instituting with them as he was keeping the Passover with them. This would have been uncommon, but the Lord had come to not keep the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen. And he was not coming to keep the status quo, but he was coming to establish something new with his disciples for this church. Not something that was anti of the law or something that disallowed the law, but something that helped us to understand what the purpose of the law was for, and the keeping of certain things like the Passover was for. He was coming to fulfill those things, and so he was starting something new. This was something new that he was doing. He was establishing it with his disciples, who we would understand would make up that first called out assembly. That's who the disciples were. They were the first ones that answered the call of Jesus Christ to follow after him and to be his disciples. And I think it not interesting at all that it, when we get down to verse number 25, that Judas, which would betray him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. If you go over to John's Gospel, in John's Gospel, in verse number 13 of John's Gospel, or chapter number 13 of John's Gospel, it says this. It says this. And then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. I mean, as soon as this took place, that Jesus said, to whom I give the sup, that's the one that's going to betray me. Christ gave Judas the sup. It was immediately that Judas had left, and immediately that Judas had taken off. I would be led to believe then that even Judas was not present at the time in verse number 26, where Christ said, listen, I'm going to take this bread and break it, and he was going to symbolize that. Judas was dismissed. It had no meaning for him. There's no purpose for him at all to be there. He didn't have the first requirement of being part of that assembly that was gathered together as the disciples, he was not saved. In fact, it says in our text, it would have been better for him. He wouldn't even have been born for what he had done. He was not a saved individual. To be a part of a church, you need to first be saved. It's a requirement that one know the Lord. And if we don't know the Lord, we cannot be aware of the purpose for which we are taking supper. And as we gather together here among ourselves as a called out assembly unto Jesus Christ, we take this as a family of believers that have gathered together to form a body in Christ, as with Christ as our head. We know this body to be called the church. It's the church that gathers together here. And so we see that even the lost disciples were separated. He didn't have Judas to be there. But this table had two elements that Jesus shared with his disciples. It was the bread that was broken, and that would be unleavened bread. That's why it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was that there was no leaven within the lump. And you say, well, why is that? If you go back and study in the Old Testament, you'll find this, that as they were leaving the land of Egypt, God said, listen, don't even put leaven in your bread. You don't even have time for the dough to rise. We got to get up and leave. So do not put leaven in your bread, because we need to get on the road. We need to make this journey happen. And so there was no leaven added unto the bread. And then throughout the Word of God, we'd understand this leaven to be the idea of sin being a part, and that it cannot be hid, and that it grows. You put leaven into bread and you know it's there, because it grows and grows and grows, and it rises up. And then the fruit of the vine, or the cup, the juice that they would have been partaken of. And I know some, and we'll talk about it next week, would say, well, how do we know that it wasn't wine that they were taking? Listen, Jesus didn't allow any fermentation of leaven to be in the bread. Why in the world would he allow it to be in the cup that they were drinking, in that which they were partaking of? And in fact, if it was to be fermented, it's a picture of his blood, meaning that his blood itself would have contained some form of sin within it. And if it's a picture of Christ's blood, we know him to be sinless. It just wouldn't work for it to be fermented wine. And besides that, we're going to look at this more next week. It speaks of when it speaks of this cup of communion, it is only talking of, and it stays a few times throughout the Gospels, that it is a the fruit of the vine. In no place concerning communion is the word wine even used in the Gospels. It's not there. And so we consider tonight the body. We want to consider tonight the body, this unleavened bread that was broken to represent the body of Christ. The body, I think we are all aware of our Savior, endured a great and horrific torture as he went to the cross. It was physical torture, and it was also, we'd understand this, there would have been personal loss. And I think we need to bring that into account when we consider what our Savior went through. He was 100% man. He was 100% man. If somebody spits on me, it would hurt my feelings. It just would. I would be offended. I'm just telling you, if somebody spat on me, it would cause me to be offended and upset and discouraged. And when friends forsake me, that would also cause me to be discouraged. I'm telling you, there's a physical side, and that's generally what we think about. But there's also a personal loss that is endured through this crucifixion. If we go to Isaiah in chapter number 53, we read about the suffering Savior prophesied of by the prophet Isaiah. He says in verse number 4, of chapter 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. We understand here he is, this Savior, this Lamb that is slain for us from the foundation of the world, is brought into this moment of crucifixion. It was going to be a horrific thing that was going to come upon him. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse number 3, when it talks about the bread that is represented here, and the unleavened bread that is broken here to represent the body of Christ, it talks about the unleavened bread. It uses this terminology. It says, it is the bread of affliction. That's what this unleavened bread that was taken at the time of Passover was. It was a bread of affliction that should cause them to remember the suffering and the sorrow that they had gone through and coming out of the land of Egypt, that they had endured there for over 400 years, and the sacrifice that was made for them. Our Savior was deprived of sleep before the night of his crucifixion. He literally spent the entire night awake. He was spat upon. He was smitten and hitten with men's fist. He was had a crown of thorns placed upon his head and beaten down upon his brow. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. The Bible talks about the whipping that he endured, and that was all before the time of his crucifixion. And I just encourage you, if you have time over the next couple of weeks, to stop and to get online. And there's several different studies that are out there of what was endured by some. When they went through a period of crucifixion, it was a horrific, horrible, enormous, grotesque way for someone to die when you think of crucifixion. And I'm telling you, our Lord endured great persecution before the crucifixion even started. But medically, I'm telling you, before he even got to the cross to die, he was at the point of physical death. Our Lord's body was literally ripped apart by a cat of nine tails, and then pierced in his side, and all these things to bring him to a point of death. There was also a personal loss. I mean, personal loss of his own disciples. It says in Matthew 26 and verse number 56, but all this was done that the scriptures might be scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. It says, then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. Those who were closest to him, those who said, listen, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake, everybody else is going to turn from you, Lord, I'm not going to turn. We know Peter. No, they all forsook him. His own disciples who claimed that they would follow him unto the death, they turned and left him. He was lied about on this night of his crucifixion. He was falsely accused. He was mocked and he was laughed to scorn. I'm telling you, there's the physical breaking of his body. There's the physical, there's the personal breaking of him, of his mental. But listen, here's the amazing thing of our Savior. And all the things that he endured, he simply looked at those who were doing it to him and says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I don't know that you and I would be so gracious. When we come to the time of communion, we're coming to the time of stopping to remember his body that was broken for us. And that's what we're preparing to remember. That's what the time of preparation is for. We read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, it is to be a time of self-examination for one to stop and to examine themselves. And we are to stop and discern the Lord's body. We have to stop and to understand why was this sacrifice made. You say, well, I know the reason. No. I'm telling you, at the time of Passover, at the time of communion, at the time when we take the Lord's table, is specifically a time for us to stop and to remember why this sacrifice was made, the breaking, why his body was taken and beaten, and why he was placed upon a cross. It is to be discerned by us. It's to be remembered by us. It is that which we are to try to stop and to understand and to bring ourselves into an understanding of this sacrifice that was made. And then we're not to be taking of this body unworthily, this blood unworthily. We need to be worthy of it. He died that we might be able to be freed from sin. His body was broken so that we in our body, in our flesh, didn't have to be bound by sin any longer. For us to remain in sin, listen, would be meaning that we are unworthy of that which he has done. There must be preparation. We must take time of self-examination, or we can We can make preparation and get sin right with the Lord. We can get the leaven out of our life. That's the examination that need be taken place. Our Savior was born that we might be able to be a partaker with Him. I read this, and one commentator said this week when we were specifically talking about, man, why is it that we take bread, and what is the significance of bread? He just had this simple observation that I thought was just amazing. Our Savior was born in Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. In fact, I don't know that I'd preach it as fact, but it's very well, and you can read about the Tower of Edar, and I think there's some pretty strong evidence that this would be the case, that's the place where our Savior was born. It was called the Tower of the Flock. It's actually the burial place of Rebecca in the Old Testament. There's still a Jewish mosque over the mouth of this cave right now where Rebecca was, but it was referred to in the times of David as the Tower of the Flock. It was referred to before that as the Tower of Edar, where Rebekah was placed, and it's believed that it's in that place where Christ might have even been born, in that place where the sheep for the temple sacrifices were actually raised, right there at the Tower of the Flock. But we do know this: while He was born in Bethlehem, which is the house of bread, amen, that's where He was born. And then He was placed in a manger. And a manger is a place where livestock come to feed. Livestock like sheep would come to feed. And that's where our Savior was. From His very birth, He was given that we might be able to be a partaker of Him. We talked about that this morning, that He desires for us to be a partaker of the bread of life, and that we might be able to ingest Him. He even said to His disciples, "Unless ye eat My body and drink My blood, ye have no part of Me." I want us to understand the importance of the Savior, the importance of the body that was broken, and our remembrance of it, and our time to examine it and to discern it, and for the purpose in which it was given, that we might be able to not be pay for our own sin with our own sacrifice of our own body. No, but with the sacrifice of the sinless blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. As we take in the bread, let us being mindful of the body that was broken for us. I know this is simple, and I didn't even know exactly how it was going to go tonight, but I want to take time for us to illustrate, and we're going to take some time of preparation. And when we take time of preparation, we understand that these disciples made ready the supper. And I don't know that they physically made bread with their own hands, but we're going to take time together tonight to make some bread. Say, are you going to make us eat it? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But I want us to kind of be mindful. And I thought, man, what a better illustration of preparation than actually preparing it together, you know? And so we want to take time to do that. So I just got a simple unleavened bread recipe, and it just calls for 2 cups of flour. And so we'll get those. So 1. I'm not a great break. Oh, man. Sorry. Whoever bought these for the church, they were beautiful. All right. They were beautiful. All right, great. Praise the Lord. So there's 2 cups of flour, roughly. And, okay. And then we need a tablespoon. I'll try not to break the tablespoon. TSP. TBSP. All right, tablespoon. Okay. All right, here's a tablespoon of salt. So 2 cups of flour, 1 tablespoon of salt. I'm going to fill it up there. Good. And we're going to mix our dry ingredients, because that's how my mom told me to cook. All right. And we're just making preparation. And you say it's kind of silly and not really needed. But reality is this. I know this about, sin in my own life, that generally it's just little things that I have. Not great sins. I mean, it might be, but just little things that really get me to a place where I'm not right with the Lord. And so sometimes just taking time to just do, simple little things is it that important? And I want us to understand that when it comes to sin in our life of any form, of any kind, As small as we might think it is, and it's just a little bitty thing, I'm telling you, just a little bitty details matter when it comes to us discerning properly the Lord's sacrifice. Because the reality is this, that even the smallest of sins, Christ came to save us from. I mean, even the thing would be like, I need to address it, but it's not that really that big a deal. No, I'm telling you, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal to our Lord. The recipe calls for 7 tablespoons of water. So 1, here, I'll get this over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, get it full, 5, 6, 7. And it calls for 7 tablespoons of olive oil. I think I have enough. I hope we'll get it. Some people would stop and go, well, every ingredient has some special significance. I don't necessarily know that. I know the lack of leaven has a great significance. For in him was no sin. And if I'm going to discern his body, I'm going to have to rid myself of sin as well. So that's 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we just kind of stir it up a little bit. Eventually they say you got to get in here with your hands. So that's why I wasn't going to make you eat it later on. You're welcome. We're going to get all of it together. I think we need a little more water. Probably be better with a little more olive oil, I know, but we'll just use water. But unleavened bread is just pretty much that simple. Just something that's quick. It's very much more like we'd understand, just a cracker, if you will. I guess some parts of getting the unleavened bread together aren't as easy as others. So, it's an amazing thing when you talk about the unleavened bread, especially with what the Jews would celebrate as their Seder and their time of Passover. I'm going to have to just use a little more. My recipe wasn't very good, I guess. So it's not going together. As the Jews will take, even today, this is what they'll do. They'll take and they'll put the unleavened bread in what they call the afikomen. It's just a pouch, has three different sections to it. As they put that in there, then they'll put all 3 sections in there, and then they don't even know why. If you ask a Jew, they don't know why. They just think it's ceremony. It's what their forefathers told them to do. They take the middle part out, called the afikomen, is the middle part of the pouch. And they take it out and I'm going to put this under here. Isn't cooking fun? Cooking's so much fun. We're going to spread a little flour down on our surface. I know something about cooking a little bit. Not much, but something. But they'll take that middle part of the unleavened bread, and then they'll go and they'll hide it. And I know why. They don't know why. I think I know why. It's kind of almost that it's right in front of them. They don't see it. But when we think of God, we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And they take the middle part of that pouch out, the afikomen, and they go and they hide it in the house. And then the children go and find the afikomen. It's a big celebration in a Jewish home when they are doing Passover, and a time of Passover. I'm only supposed to do a portion of this. A time of Passover. But they'll go and hide that third part. And then the child that finds it gets a toy. I mean, it's a great time of celebration in a Jewish home. But they'll take their bread and they'll roll it out thin. And then this is something else that's just real interesting about how the Jews would make their Passover bread. They score it. And they take and they put holes all over. And we understand that our Savior was pierced upon the cross. And they'll just make just simple little pieces of bread, unleavened, pierced. And I'm trying to help us understand that we're discerned this bread, the lack of leaven, the lack of sin. And it does more than just, you know, give us something to do on the time of communion. It is to cause us to take note and to take mind of that which it did cost our Lord and the body that was broken. And as the Lord, I know this would be baked before we'd break it, but as the Lord took and break that bread, it was completely a symbol of his body that was going to be completely broken for no other reason than but for my sin. It's the only reason. And for me to sit back and just go, well, you know, my sin isn't that great. My sin isn't the big deal. And I'll take care of it. I mean, I know when we're going to take it. I'll just take care of it. It's right. No. I'm telling you, we're to take care of our sin now. We're to discern the Lord's body now so that we're prepared for when we do have to be a partaker of it. Yeah. And we need to deal with our sin today. Not later, not at a different time. It needs to be done right now. That we need to begin to start considering and making preparation for the reality that we're going to be partaker, and we have been made a partaker of the body of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the breaking of his body for every little bitty sin you've ever done, for every wrong attitude you've had, for every time you've thought the wrong thing, for every time you've done the wrong thing, his body was broken. Just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. Please don't turn off the recording if you're at home. I just decided I wanted to do something. The Lord just laid this on my heart as well.